Father, we ask that you would give us insight and understanding that Jesus is our Amen, that he is our Alpha and our Omega, the beginning and the end, and the created. He created everything. Teach us, Lord, to be thankful, people of gratitude. And we ask this in the Amen's name. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. I have a confession to make. I'd like to start off today's service with confessing a problem that I have. And that problem is that I complain a lot. I don't know if you're that way or can identify, but my default position is negative. The glass is not half full, it's half empty. And I have a problem being contented. I don't know if that's a case with you. I hope you are contented all the time, thankful all the time. And I've come to see that I need some help. And the only one who can help me, I know, is the great I am. He is the yes of God. And there's nothing too hard for him. Even my discontent, even my ingratitude. And I hope that me sharing this with you will give you the freedom to admit, yeah, sometimes my default position is negative. Or I compare myself to somebody else. Well, why can't I have that? Or why isn't my life this way? Rather than giving thanks to God in all situations. So I need some help. And I've come to see that the only way that I am going to overcome this is to realize that thanksgiving, contentment, is not natural. It is supernatural. Reminds me when I used to have hair, I'd wear natural, as they say, back in the 60s and so forth. So you have a natural. Our natural position is to complain, to compare, and why, and to judge God even. God, why aren't you doing this for me? It's like God owes us. That's the natural position. But we need some super in our natural. If I had a natural today, I said, I need some super in my natural. And I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Supernatural. And I believe that praising God is also a way that the Holy Spirit empowers us to be thankful and to give praise to God all the time in every situation, even when things don't look good, even when things are painful. I want to read you a text here that I think is very, very pivotal. In Ephesians, this is not Atomic Fusion sermon, it is Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, always giving thanks to the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. In the good times and the bad, especially in the difficult times. Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything. Everything. You mean the time I got fired? Or you mean the time I was sick? Yes. Give thanks to God in everything. Since that is not natural, the opposite is our natural default position, is to complain. Well, God, what? Why me? Why do I have to lose my job now? Why am I sick now? Why do you keep me healthy? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read another text to you, because I believe as I looked at these scriptures that there's a connection between thanksgiving and the Holy Spirit. And that's why I've said that thanksgiving is supernatural. And thanksgiving didn't end this last Thursday. We are to be thankful in all circumstances and all the time. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, rejoice always. Really? Rejoice always. I can't cry about it. I'm not saying if you can't express natural emotion, you're hurt. Of course you cry, but you don't stay. You don't stay in your tears. You look through your tears like looking through a looking glass. And you don't see tears. You see something in the future. You see something that is good. Therefore, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, rejoice always, whether it's Thanksgiving or not, whether it's good times or bad, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. The bad stuff too? The things that break our hearts? You see, that's the way out of it, is by giving thanks and by praising God. Because I believe that praise empowers our thanksgiving. You say, well, what does praise mean? Praise is like, oh, bragging. It is like making a big deal of. It is like cheering when the Atlanta Falcons beat the Kansas City Chiefs. We say, yay! We applaud. We cheer. Go Falcons! And somebody's out there saying, yeah, right. In your dreams, you're going to beat the the Chiefs. I understand that. And I know some of you who are Chiefs fan, and I rejoice with you that they're in first place. And you brag about the quarterback who never fumbles except on those commercials they have on TV dropping some food. All right. You brag about it. Do we brag about our star quarterback or star basketball player more than we brag on God? So you praise him, but do we praise God? To praise God means to brag on him. It means to make much of him. It means to magnify, means to publish. Look at what the Lord has done for me. Look how great the Lord is. Do we really do that? I believe that when we do that, that praise empowers our thanksgiving. Because we think so much of God, we give thanks rather than complain about our position, because we realize he's so great and he can do anything. He can solve your financial problem, your health problems, but you never know that. Sometimes you got to preach to yourself and tell yourself how great God is, how wonderful he is. We don't do enough of that. And I believe, again, that thanksgiving is supernatural. And I believe that we're able to experience the supernatural power of God in our praise. There's a scripture that says that God, he lives in, he abides in the praises of his people. We need the Lord. We need some super in our natural. Since our natural is money at times negative, it's not wrong to state where you are. Don't misunderstand me. It's not wrong to say, you know, I'm having a hard time. Brother, will you pray for me? But there ought to be some, you ought to put a praise on it. Can I put it that way, y'all? You need to put a praise on your situation. How do you do that? By looking at how great God is and preaching to yourself that I've got a great God. I've got this, that, and the other thing. Because he is called the Amen. As I was preparing the sermon, I was looking at that again in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, 14. He describes himself as the Amen. He is the yes. He is the one we cheer for. He makes the touchdowns. He catches the passes. He throws the touchdown pass. He does the block. He's our all in all. Now, I don't know who your favorite athlete is or what team is. It's no comp, as they say. It's no comp to the man that I'm a fan of. And I hope that you are a fan of this man. He is the yes. He is the all-star, the superstar. He's the Amen. He is the faithful and true witness. You know, a lot of times we'll say of an athlete, man, he's the truth. Man, he claims to be this, that, and the other thing. I've seen him play, man. He's the truth. He ain't the truth. All right. I don't care how big and strong and fast he is. The truth is Jesus. Jesus is our everything. He is our all-star. We want him on our team. And if that is true, and I know you're agreeing with me about what I'm saying, but if it is true, we need to put it into action, especially during those times when we are having a hard time. Give thanks to God the Father for everything. No exclusions. Ephesians 5:20 says that. Everything means everything, and that's all it means. And that's so comforting, isn't it? That no matter what we go through, that we can give thanks. We don't have to, you know, sing the blues. You know, we don't have to sing, Monday's, I thought was bad. I got the blues on Monday and Tuesday's just as bad. We don't have to go there. But if you do, don't stay there. You can come out of the dumps by what? Praising God. Making much of him. And what that does is get you thankful. It gets you out of this side of your brain to that side of your brain, whatever side of the brain you need to be in. Because you're looking to him, you're talking to him, you're praising him. And in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, rejoice how many times? Always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances for God. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And notice what it says now. Here we come to the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't squeeze the Spirit where he can't get through. Don't strangle him with our wrong attitudes towards God. And sometimes I know we can blame God. He is in control of everything, right? But he's in control not for us to blame. And I blame God sometimes. I've done that. And I've had to repent of that. God is good. You say, well, if he's good, why do I have problems? Why do I have trials? If he's good, he'd keep me from all that. That's because we need the problems. That's because we need the trials. Trials make you grow. Many of you know that I love vegetable gardening. Sometimes I put my plants out too soon, and they're not strong enough. Their root system, the trunk of the plant, the stem is weak. And so the wind comes and it blows my collard greens over because I planted them a little bit too early. But they get stronger that way. They get knocked down, but they get back up and they come back with a stronger root, a stronger stem. Same thing with us. God doesn't do evil, but he does allow it. We know that from many, many examples with Peter. Jesus said, hey, Peter, you know, Satan wants to take you and sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. He didn't say, I'm stopping it. I ain't let that happen to you. I'm going to build a fence around you. Satan can't get you. No, I'm going to pray for you that your faith won't fail. In other words, that you will grow stronger in faith. And when you're converted, come back and talk to your brothers, talk to your sisters and help them get stronger. That's how you get strong in the Lord, by trusting him and praising him, even in the difficult times. Don't quench the Spirit by blaming God. Don't quench the Spirit by rejecting God. Say, well, God, I'm not praying to you no more. I'm not talking. I don't believe you exist anymore. If you did, if you were here, blah, 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 blah. Listen what Paul said to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Do not get drunk on wine or, you know, whiskey or Jack Daniels. In other words, is that you or is that Jack Daniels talking? Is that you or the Holy Spirit? Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. He's using an analogy here. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Instead of being filled with Jack Daniels. Not wrong to drink alcohol in moderation. But if you need that drink to be sociable, and you don't talk nowhere else, you get your little nip, then that ain't right. Okay, you want to be led by the Spirit. You don't want to be lit by some substance. You want to be lit up by the Holy Spirit, the power and light of God. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. That is, be under the Spirit's influence. And the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, and joy. speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, songs from the Spirit. These psalms or hymns are usually praise songs. If you read the book of Psalms, and I'm sure you do, I like to read the Psalms before I go to bed at night. Psalms are praise. They were written to praise God. And as I've said, I believe that praise empowers our thanksgiving. When I begin to read the praises of David or this one or the other for the Lord, then I start praising the Lord. And guess what? I start giving thanks to the Lord. Singing and make music with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, even your pain, even your problems, and that will help you put your trust and your focus squarely on Him, and you grow stronger. I'll read it again. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about a man that I have come to appreciate over the many years of my life, a man that I just praise God for him. This man, wow, where do I begin? Wow. He worked harder than anybody that I've ever seen. I used to think my dad was the hardest working man. But this man worked harder than anybody that I've ever known, even anybody in the Bible. He had such perseverance, fired and empowered by the Holy Spirit, that he even went to prison multiple times. Frequently, he was in jail. And he was continually exposed and open to being killed. He was like that movie, a man in the movie called The Fugitive. He was running from place to place and continually exposed to death threats. One time they caught him and they beat him with a whip. They beat him 39 times. And you thought he'd quit after that, but he didn't. He went five more times and they caught him. Five more. So he did a total of five times and they beat him. And they beat him. But you know what five times 39 is? Then they caught him one time and they beat him with sticks, with rods. That's painful. Everywhere on his body. Then the other time, they caught him and they threw rocks at him. Not just some little pebble. I'm talking about bigger than my fist kind of rocks, like baseballs. Pelting him all over his body and his head. Then he tried to get away at one time by ship and go to another area. And the ship sunk. And he had to spend a day and a night in the ocean by himself. Imagine at night. And something comes and bumps you. You don't know if it's a shark or a dolphin. And he was continually on the move. He was wanted. He would go without sleep for days. He became dehydrated because there was no water to drink. No water that would not kill him. There was no food. He was naked and cold. He had no bed. And when they captured him, they put him in prison and he had to lay on that cold rock floor. And there were all kinds of odors and smells and rodents. And insects. But he never gave up and he never complained. Never, ever complained. He never accused God of being wrong and evil and uncaring. In fact, he wrote in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Verse 13. He's saying to God. And through supernatural power, he gave thanks to God. All those things that I read you rejoice in the Lord always, pray continually, etc., etc. They were written by that man. I think you know who that man is. I admire that man than any other man, period, beside Jesus Christ. Because he trusted God. He suffered more than anyone else beside Jesus Christ. And he said even this, he said, I take up that which was lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Where Christ was beaten, where Christ was tortured. He says, I'm filling that up. I'm continuing that. Because I want to know Christ and the fellowship of his suffering. See, that's thanksgiving that is supernatural, because no way in the world could anybody, I don't care who they were, go through that without being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that is what God, he's not going to necessarily call you to do that. I doubt it. But if he does, I hope that you, and I hope that I, will praise God, even in the pain, even in the sorrow, and give him thanks. Do you realize how important this is? Oh, it's just another sermon on thanksgiving and giving thanks and praising God. Listen, do you realize what the main reason civilization has been eroded, destroyed over millennia? You know what the main reason is? Come with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 18. Let me turn there. Romans 1:18. See, Romans is significant and important in this context, in that we're reading the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the revelation of Jesus Christ took place in Roman-dominated territory. Rome ruled the world, but did not rule God's people. They had to stand up. They had to believe. They had to endure. Why did Rome fall? What is the underpinning of the destruction of civilization? Romans 1 verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. What is this godliness? What is this pivotal thing that was the reason Rome fell and the reason all civilizations fail? What is it? Verse 20. In fact, verse 19. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. In other words, you can look up at a creation and you would be on a fool's errand. I didn't call you a fool, but you'd be on a fool's mission to try to prove that there's no God by the creation of the heavens. God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. When they say there's no God, oh, I don't believe all that God stuff. That witness is all around you. You can put your eyes, close your eyes or put your hand over your eyes. It's all around you. God is. Jesus is. Verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him. They neither praised him. They neither magnified him. They neither bragged on him. They didn't glorify God as God, nor gave thanks to him. Where do we hear that here? Sometime this morning. Praise God and give thanks. They refused to praise God, to glorify him, to make much of him, to magnify him in all of his splendor as God, nor gave thanks. They go together. Our praise of God empowers our thanksgiving of God. But the more you praise God, the more you see him, the more you depend on him. And when we pray, we glorify him, we praise him. When we sing, we praise him. Nor give thanks were they to him. They didn't give thanks to him. But they're thinking, when you don't give thanks to God, when you don't glorify God and make much of him, I'm going to put it crudely, you lose your mind. Someone once said, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. When you drift from God, you ain't got too much left. Because your thinking becomes corrupted and futile. Because you were created, your heart and your mind were created to worship God. You've got a God-shaped vacuum in your soul. And he is the only one. He is the only one who can fill your soul. You can try all kinds of other things, but you're going to come back to see. And one day, every knee is going to bow. And every knee is going to glorify and praise God. Every knee will bow. And every knee and every mouth and heart confess that Jesus is Lord. He is the creator of all things and the sustainer of them. And he directs them. That's why we give him glory. There's none like him. Oh, let me go on. Neither they glorified God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claim to be wise. Well, I'm an atheist. I've had people that I have known and some have told me that being an atheist and telling somebody atheist, it makes them feel philosophically above the rest. We don't believe all that old God and Jesus stuff. I'm an atheist. I'm an intellectual. That's fool's talk. That's what he said. It's foolishness. It's foolish. And their foolish hearts became darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Oh, maybe Paul should have talked like that. Because maybe those who maybe are on the borderline and maybe they, you don't know whether there's a God or not. No, sometimes we need to hear the plain truth, the real plain truth. Are you with me? And they changed the glory of the immortal God to images. We'll make you something, make something that look like you. You know, get in the mirror, you know, that's your God. You're your God. Well, it won't last. And they made things of birds and animals and worship those things. Therefore, God gave them over. He says, go ahead. I used to have a dog named, what was my dog's name? Rusty. And sometimes I'd walk that dog, it's a German Shepherd, and he'd be walking me. He'd be pulling me. And his name was Prince. I'm sorry. Our son Earl had a dog named Rusty. He could pull too. He was an Alaskan Husky. And he could pull too. And sometimes he just want to let go of the thing. He says, okay, go on with your bad self. Okay. That's what God has done. He said, okay, you don't want me? I'm just trying to lead you and show you the truth. You don't want to acknowledge me? You want to praise me? You want to go do that thing? All right, boom, go do your thing. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. What's the big lie? The big lie is, I forgot about that. The big lie is that other things can satisfy you other than God. God is not the only thing or one who can satisfy you. Sex, drugs, alcohol, fame, fortune, money, that can satisfy. That's the big lie. They exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship, notice, and serve created things, cars, houses, you name it, other people, rather than rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Forever praised. Notice, if we would praise Him, then the supernatural would work in our lives. The supernatural is a person called the Holy Spirit. And He would give us the fulfillment. He would give us the peace and the joy that we're looking for. It's not in another person. It's not in another thing. Because God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with their lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves a due penalty for their perversion. I mean, that's the word of God. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He just gave them over to a depraved mind to do what they ought not to have done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed. Now notice, y'all, somebody may say, well, yeah, look at that. Greed. Are you greedy? What is greed? Again, thinking that you need more, as they say, more money. Got a Jones for this and a Jones for that. Got a Jones for money. No, that's just as big a sin as the rest of this. Wow. They're all full of envy, murder. You can't go kill people just because you don't like them or because of the choices that they have made. You can't do that. God says this is evil. Deceit and malice. They're gossip, slanderers, God haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. Why are you reading all this, Pastor? Because you need to understand what the demise of civilization, even the great Roman Empire, was. They did not praise God, nor did they give thanks. Will we? Will you as a Christian? Will I as a Christian devote myself to what I was created for? To be thankful. I got a little, not homework, but church work for you today. And I want us to take a moment. Let me give you the assignment. And ask the Lord, Lord, do I love you more than anything or anyone else? Nobody's going to see this, so you can be honest. And if I do love you, show me. And if I don't, show me. Because I want to love you, Lord. I want to brag on you. I want to worship you. I want to give thanks. I want to be a thankful person. I don't want to be a negative person. I don't want to be a whiner or a complainer. And I realize that I can't whine and praise at the same time. Not that we can't cry to the Lord. Yes, we could go on our face with the Lord crying, Lord, I'm hurting. I'm gonna. But you turn your eyes on to Jesus. You turn your heart to Him to feel it. See, David was real with God. David said, God, it don't do no good to worship you. Look at the wicked. They're prospering, and I'm barely making. But David didn't stay there. He went on to worship. That's why we have the song. We read his praises to God. But I want you to just jot down some things. I want you to write down the way God has blessed you. Write down some blessings that God has given you. Maybe it's in health, or maybe it's in your work. Maybe it's in your relationships with your family. Maybe it is for your family. Thanking God for your wife and for your children. See, we had the turkey. All right. You may have some left over, but what I'm talking about is better than turkey. See, Thanksgiving doesn't end. Why? Because it is natural? No. Thanksgiving is supernatural. It is the Holy Spirit stirring our hearts to praise God, to thank God. I want you right now to write down some things that you're thankful for. You say, well, I wrote down them at Thanksgiving. You can write them again. Do you realize that God inspired Paul to write Romans 8:28, that He works all things together for good, for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose? Even that which you think is bad in your life, and it is bad, and it is hurt. Do you realize that God can turn that for good? You know, Joseph got done wrong by his brothers. They lied and said to his dad, said he's dead because he was the favorite. They were jealous. But sending their brother off didn't solve that hole in their soul. They needed the Lord. And the Lord was with Joseph. And finally, when they met up, they were shocked that he was still alive. And they were wondering if he was going to do a, you know, one of those mafia deals on him and kill him. No. He said, you meant it for evil. Yes, brothers, y'all meant it for evil. But you know what? God meant it for good, for the saving of many people, for the saving of your family. And millions of people, the known world, was saved by an evil that God allowed and then worked it for good for millions of people. See, don't interpret the bad things that come against you, that God is working evil against you. What may happen and have happened in your life may be wrong and evil, and God allowed it, but he's working it for good. God, I believe, performs millions and millions of little miracles in our lives every day. We're not even aware of them. You're not aware of why that light changed the way it did when you were about to go across. Millions of miracles. That's why we need to have this supernatural mindset of realizing how great God is. I want us to sing this song. I want you to listen to it. Let's play Million Little Miracles and write down little miracles that God has done for you. None of them are too small. Count your blessings.
All my life I've been carried by grace. Don't ask me how, 'cause I can't explain. It's nothing short of a miracle I'm here. I've got some blessings that I don't deserve. I've got some scars, but that's how you learn. It's nothing short of a miracle I'm here. I think it over and it doesn't matter. I know it comes from above. I've got miracles on miracles, a million little miracles. Yeah, miracles on miracles. Count your miracles, 1, 2, 3, 4. I can't even count them all. You held me steady so I wouldn't give up. You opened doors that nobody could shut. I hope I never get over what you've done. I wanna live with an open heart. I wanna live like I know who you are. I hope I never get over what you've done. It's not coincidence and it's not luck. I know it comes from above. I've got miracles on miracles, a million little miracles. Miracles on miracles, count your miracles, 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all. Miracles on miracles, a million little miracles. Miracles on miracles, count your miracles, 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all. 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 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all.
Yeah, I can't even count them all. I try and I can't keep up.
I can't even count them all.
Yeah, I can't even count them all.
I can't even count them all.
Count 1, 2, 3, 4.
I can't even count them all.
Like when you heal my mother.
I can't even count them all.
When you redeem my father.
I can't even count them all.
Even in the death of my brother.
I can't even
you are closer than no other. Oh, you broke my chains. You saved my life. You set me free. You gave me victory. Oh, I can't even count them all. You kept my mind on. You healed my body, Jesus. Clothes on my back. My mother would say, I got food on my table. Lord, I know that you're able. Say, I can't even. Too many to count.
I can't even
I got miracles on miracles. A million little miracles. Yeah. Miracles on miracles. Count your miracles. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I can't even count them all.
Miracles on miracles. A million little miracles. Thank you, Jesus, for the miracles on miracles. Count your miracles. 1, 2, 3, 4. I can't even count them all.
How many did you count? Were you able to count them all? Isn't God magnanimous? Isn't he wonderful? And I pray, and Father, I'm going to pray in a minute, but right now, I pray now, God, help us. Help us, Lord, to see your hand in our lives. Let our response, our first response, not to be, oh, let it to be, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Even if we can't understand it, Lord, give us a mind and a heart that is so filled with how great you are that it surpasses understanding what we're going through. Do that, Father, Lord. Reveal yourself to someone. Place yourself, someone listening today. Let them experience a change that only you can make in their hearts and minds, that they become worshipers, they become praisers. Change our hearts, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to do something else for me. I want you to list five things every night before you go to bed and thank God for them. When you get up in the morning, I want you to thank God for five things. I want you to begin your day with praise even before you go to sleep and thanksgiving. And I want you to wake up with praise and thanksgiving. This is something my wife and I have done for years. We thank God and we listen. We'll get up singing. If we can't sing too good that morning, we'll say, I'm going to say it because she'll start singing. Alexa, you know, play this praise song. And we'll just praise the Lord. But we also have to have five things that we're thankful for. You know, this can make a difference not only in your attitude, it also can make a difference in your health. It really does. So praise the Lord. So, Father, we just thank you again. Just want to keep thanking you for all you have done. We can't thank you too much. We thank you for the seen and unseen miracles, millions and millions of little miracles. Help us to look for the miracles, to look for the good, and how are you going to work things for good in our lives. And we thank you for being who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Did that make you want to shout amen? That it is so? All the power, all the glory, all the honor going to him? I want to talk to you now about the greatest Thanksgiving that has ever been held. You're probably scratching your head and wondering, what is he talking about? The greatest Thanksgiving was the one we had last week. What is the greatest Thanksgiving? The most pivotal, the most important. I don't have enough adjectives to give to this Thanksgiving. On April 2nd, that's when it took place. Thanksgiving, April 2nd, A.D. 33. There was no one grieving more, no more burdened more than Jesus. He knew what this Thanksgiving, this ultimate praise of God would mean. It was the heaviest heart that anyone has ever borne. Sometimes we think that things that happen to us and the things we go through, we have a heavy heart, and because of our heavy heart, we do not give thanks. There was a weeping deep inside. There was relentless pressure as Jesus walked up the stairs to the upper room. There was Judas, whom he loved, but he knew that he would betray him. In fact, all of them would. He was the Passover lamb. And although he knew the grief and the sorrow he bore from the prophet Isaiah 53 and verse 3, Jesus fully knew the price had to be paid, that he had to go through it. And so he set his eyes upon his Father. He even asked at one point that it be that cup passed from him, but he knew. He says, no, but not my will, your will be done. He knew he would be crushed, both in heart and in body, and beaten and be tortured to death. After climbing the stairs, he sat down with them. And after telling Judas, yes, it's you who will betray me. And while they were eating, Jesus took bread, knowing that that would be his body given for them. And guess what he did under all of that pressure? All of that weight of what he would go through and be and suffer more than any human beings ever suffered. He gave thanks That's what the scripture says here in Matthew 26 and verse 26. He gave thanks and he broke it and says, take and eat it. And he gave it to his disciples. Take and eat it. This is my body. He gave thanks. Then he took the cup. And it says that he gave thanks. This is Thanksgiving. The greatest Thanksgiving ever. The most important one ever. Then he took the cup, the wine, and he gave thanks. And he offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood. He knew that his blood would be shed and he would die from it. And yet he's giving thanks. He knew what it would mean for you and for me. It would mean life, his life for ours. This is my blood of the covenant. So he remembered, he knew that he was the Amen, the letter he inspired to Laodicea. He knew that he was the true and faithful witness. He was the yes that would make all of God's plan for salvation true and unstoppable. He was the yes. He was the Amen. This is my blood of the covenant. It's guaranteed, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is the great gift that our Savior did for us. And he's done it for millions and billions of people. And Father, we ask that you would bless this bread. And that we'd experience this great majesty, this great miracle that we eat of the body of Christ. His life inside of us, this great mystery. And that we'd be made strong and that we'd be full of praise and thanksgiving. Even as he gave thanks, even as we eat of him, let us have his thankful heart and mind. And Father, we ask you to bless the wine, the blood of Jesus, his life giving us life. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you, Father, for not sparing your own son. And we thank you for being willing to go through all the heartache to see not just a son, but your only son, your beloved son, in whom you were well pleased, who committed no sin, take on all of our sins so that we too might be your children and be loved by you. Thank you for loving us. Bless the wine and the bread. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And now I want us to listen to a song. I want us to sing a song if you want. It's entitled, Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. Your blood.
I was rich. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you.
Applied. Glory.